Dr. Tim Rule has been pastoring for 30 years? 31 years. And you?
36.
30. Oh, wow, that's a long time. 36 years. I'm the new kid on the block. I've only been at it for 30 years. But let me tell you something about him. I just got this today. I honestly, he's an Ohio State guy. Buckeye fan. Good. Wonderful. Might as well go with a winning crowd, right? Grew up in Dayton, Ohio. Attended Hiles Anderson College. Was called to pastor the Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in Chico, California, over 31 years ago. His first Sunday was January the 17th, 1988. Brother Rule is an ardent soul winner and has been teaching at Golden State Baptist College for many, many years, and is the director of Mount Zion Baptist Camp. Is that the one you're getting ready to have?
Yes, sir.
And you were just with Brother Gray?
Yes, sir.
He's coming here at the end of the week. So, tag team. Yeah, I know. He and his wife Terry have been married for over 40 years. Have 4 grown children, and 15 grandchildren, and 1 on the way. By the way, how's your daughter doing?
Very fine, thank you.
Is your wife on the way? Does she?
She'll be here. She's late already. So.
Okay. All right. So he's going to come and preach for us. Let's go ahead and pray. And then we're going to turn him loose and let him have at it. So would you bow your head with us, please? Appreciate that. Father, would you please help us tonight? Help this dear man. God, I know what it's like to go somewhere. And you wonder what level the people may be on or what's needed the most or what you should or shouldn't say. I understand all that. But we're this old-fashioned fundamentalist here and love good preaching. So I pray, dear Lord, you'll bless him, please, that he may feel right at home and be able to help us. May we give the soil a good turning over so that he can plant the seed that needs to be planted. Help us, please, tonight. I love you and ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hearts with fear, freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling our hearts to God, safe from the chastening rod, seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away.
Jesus is coming soon,
morning or night or noon.
good. Take your Bibles. This feels like the college chapel when someone stands up there, and then after they stop clapping, someone says, "Who is he?" And that's always wonderful. It's wonderful. Well, I could have grown up just down the block from your pastor, and we could have been best friends. This is the first time I've met him, first time walked in your building, and like the sharpness of it, the cleanness of it, the spirit of excitement of it, I love it. And it's pretty good, Rev, that we are the old men now, leading the younger men along after trying to get into 30 years of ministry and things like that. Brother Johnson gives me that wide eye. He looks like a father to me, doesn't he? So I love him very, very much. And we have been together a long, long time. I pastor the church where he was called to preach. And so he gone off to Bible college and came back, started a church in Redding, California. And Brother Tom is up there with him. Brother Allen, who is from Ohio. And so he is up there. And then when I became the pastor 5 years later, Brother Johnson came down and welcomed me to the state of California. So Brother Johnson and I have known each other for all these 32 years now going into the pastorate. So I want to say thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I don't know who made the caramel corn. That was not good. Okay, caramel corn is my favorite thing to eat. So I'm going to preach for like 37 seconds. I'm going to sit down and eat my caramel corn. And I even have caramel corn candles in my office. And because I love that smell. And so when the kids come to the principal's office, they say, "I like being here." So it's really nice. So I want to say thank you to the interpreter that's doing that. I am learning sign language myself. My wife has signed for 27 years. And so we have Brother Randy Dignan coming, who is a phenomenal man. His parents are deaf. And so I want to learn how to communicate with him. So I started taking sign language so my wife and I could argue in silence. That's why we did that. So we'll be just fine. Just fine. 30 years, Pastor. That's pretty good. They say it's a walk in the park. Jurassic Park. It's just the way it is. I haven't seen my wife for 8 days. 8 days. So she's supposed to be here. She's supposed to be here early enough to at least let me kiss her before. It's okay to say that, right? Okay, good. In California, guys, never mind. Forget, okay? I'm glad I'm in Ohio. Guys kiss girls and girls kiss guys. That's where it is, okay? You don't say that stuff in California. Amen. And so if I leave the pulpit, run back there, you'll know my wife just got here, and so that'll be okay. Here we go. I'm not sure what that man up there did wrong, but you locked him up there. I don't know. I don't know, but whatever you did, I'm not going to do it, okay? You we'll be just fine. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 18. Luke and please chapter 18. Luke in chapter 18. My son, Gabriel, is in Kentucky preaching a youth conference, and I get to be here. Last year, at this exact same week, I was in Louisville, Kentucky preaching a youth conference, and he was here. So we just kind of switched spots. How's that sound? Which spots? So whichever you like the best, invite back. And so I'll probably be at the youth conference next year. So that's okay. Luke chapter 18. Luke and chapter 18. And please look at verse number 35. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 35. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 35. I love the Bible. I love how God just how God compiled it all together, spoke and inspired it. But just how, I'm glad he didn't give us graphs and numbers and just equations and principles. I'm glad he just wrote this book. And there's so many things we can just see inside the scriptures that God wants us to have. I'm glad there's that free leading of the Holy Spirit that he may speak to you about a certain matter that maybe he'll speak to someone else differently. But I love the stories that Jesus Christ himself tells. And here is one of them, verse number 35. And it came to pass that as he, that's Jesus, was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. It's not an obscure story. I'm sure you've read it before. But there is a biblical principle within the story that I believe would be applicable to each and every one of us. That's why I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Shall we pray before we get started, please? Father in heaven, I do pray as the preacher prayed, Lord, for that very anointing of the Holy Spirit. For without that, nothing will happen. I realize in this earthen tongue, I can bring no wile against the devil myself. So consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by thy grace and power divine. And may my soul look up with a very steadfast hope, and may my will be lost in thine. God, would you do something? This is Monday night. These folks are not here because they're here because it's the extra time. It's the extra doors open. It's the extra service. Lord, I believe they come expecting. Holy Spirit of God, do just that, please. For Christ's sake, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I know we don't know each other, so we'll kind of just get around that real fast. Just ask a question. You know, God wants us to live a wonderful life. He really does. In fact, God wants us to live a life, as he even says, more abundantly, more abundantly. So God gives them the principles of and the wherewithal that we can live that life more abundantly. In our passage, God gives us a setting, a people, a principle. He gives us 4 words, 13 letters, but one great truth, 4 words. So much the more. So much the more. So much the more. I want you to think about those 4 words. So much the more. So much more. If the Holy Spirit could impale those 4 words in your mind, that as you leave here tonight, that you'll learn those 4 words and use those 4 words, so much the more. So much the more. Can I ask that question? Does somebody here maybe need a touch of God? Or have you got used to him? I love the choir. Phenomenal, phenomenal job. This group up here, oldest teenage group I've ever heard in my life, right up here. That was so good. That was so good. Do you need a miracle? Are you okay? Status quo. Go to work, check in, check out, come home, eat a meal. Surf the TV, go to bed. It's really bad when God's people don't need the touch of God anymore. Do you need a miracle? Do you need to change life?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So what's stopping you? What's stopping you? What's stopping a bus driver that runs 100 now? What stops the Sunday school class? Hey, can I have an extra room? What stops that? We're in a building program and need more money and need more space. What stops that? Now, this is Monday night. This is the crowd that says, oh, let's go on for the Lord. Let's do what God wants us to do. So it's amazing that God not only challenges us, but he gives the very biblical principles and the time-tested principles to help us. So here's the scene, all right? We read it. Here's the scene. Jesus goes to Jericho. As Jesus goes to Jericho, it's a hot place. It's a very warm place. And I know sometimes you believe you got hot in Ohio, okay? Rev over here and I, we understand what hot is all about. This next week, it'll be 108 in Redding. I think it's 106 in Chico. We kind of run about the same here and there. And we'll have about 30, 40 days in our summer, about 105, 110, maybe 113, 114. So it gets hot where we live. I live in the valley, Sacramento Valley, in Chico, California. Rev is living in the same place. And so our summers are warm, no humidity, that's kind of nice. And but we understand what it's like to be in a hot place. Jericho was a very warm, very hot place. Jesus notices this man. He's a beggar. He's on the outskirts of the city. And if you remember Jericho, it's a pretty good-sized city, and they build walls around it, and they have gates to the city, and that's where the commerce takes place. And so here's a man that's a beggar. He goes to these gates of the city because he knows that's where people go in and come out, and that's where they buy and sell the wares. So that's where he's placed. So now we have Jesus going to Jericho, and he's on the outskirts of the city, the gates, and it's hot. And Jesus knows, notices a man that's a blind man. He's sitting and begging. And then the Bible says a large crowd passes by. A large crowd passes by. This man's blind. This man's blind. But a large crowd passes by. And he senses something is going on. And so he inquired, hey, somebody tell me what is going on. Somebody tell me what is going on. In fact, would you just take your Bibles and look at that, please? In verse number 37, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Oh, no, this is a blind man. This is a blind man. He's in Jericho. Jesus. He who walked on water. Jesus, he who raised the dead, Jesus, oh, he that gave hearing to the deaf, he that loosed the tongue, oh, Jesus, he who gave sight to the blind, that Jesus, oh, that Jesus. And so this blind man cries out, Jesus, thou son of David. You know what he says? It's my chance. It's my day for the miracle. It's my day for the change of life. It's my day for the answer to prayer. Hey, this is it right here. Hey, Jesus is passing by. Hey, this is it. Jesus, thou son of David. Look at verse 38. They cried, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before him rebuked him. They shall hold his peace. I understand. Hey, old man, shut up. Be quiet, old man. What are you doing? Jesus got things to do. He's got a place to go. Hey, old man, just be quiet. You're just a beggar. You're a loser. Hey, leave him alone. He's got places to go. He's got things to do. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. And I am a beggar. No. No, this is my day. No, this is my time. If that's Jesus right there, no, I'm not going to miss my opportunity. I'm not going to let this go by me. Oh, no. And he cries out again, hey, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So much the more. You know what happens to our days? We let them go by. You know what happens to our miracles? We let them go by. Oh, we reach out there, Jesus, please help me. And all of a sudden, the crowd passes by. But all of a sudden, there's something that happens. So much the more. And then that's when Jesus Christ recognizes this man. Look at the verse. And verse number 37, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, and he should hold his peace. But he cries so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What opposition has caused you to not cry out a second time? It's too busy for you, old man. You're just a beggar. No. Here's my chance. Here's my change of life. Here's my miracles. So he cried out so much the more. Can you just listen to me? Here's the point right here. His intensity of effort went to the next level. It's always different. Jesus, our son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus kept walking. Leave him alone, old man. Come on, beggar. Just leave me alone. Only thing that happened was, and he cried out so much the more. Four words. So much the more. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Only thing that really changed was his intensity of effort and went to the next level and he got his miracle. Can I ask a question? How badly do you want your miracle? How badly do you want your bus route to grow? How badly do you really want your Sunday school class to be a thriving Sunday school class? How badly do you want this church right here to reach this greater area for the gospel of Jesus Christ? How bad do we want it? That's the only difference right here. The level of intensity grew greater, and he got what he wanted, and his whole life changed, and God was glorified. It's all through the Bible. How Paul said these words, I labor more than you all, so much the more. No different. It was Elijah who said, I see what Elijah did. I want what he has. And all his prophets were following him. But Elijah got closer and closer and closer. So much the more. I've got to have what Elijah had. I'm going to stick with him all the way through. Hey, so much the more. So much the more. I think about Mordecai. And when he gave the death sentence to all the people, and people started bowing down. And Mordecai said, I ain't bowing down. I'm not going to bow down. Hey, I'm going to try to save my country. Hey, we need someone to stand up and say, you know, I'm not going to bow down to what's going on. I want America to have a miracle. And so much the more, so much the more, so much the more, so much the more. Solomon said, God, I need wisdom around my country. So much the more. You know, if you want something bad enough, you'll get it. You girls want a new dress? Your dad will get it for you. Girls wear dresses, right? Okay, let me make sure. I meant not like the standards. I meant that guys don't wear dresses, okay, please. It's just there for me, okay. You know the only difference between first string and second string is so much the more. Only difference between first string and second string. So much the more. I ain't being vain. I ain't sitting on a bench. I ain't sitting on a bench. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care how long I have to do it. Or just when I went to play college football, and, you know, the older we get, the better we were. We really were, okay? When I play college football, I said, I ain't going to sit on a bench. I ain't sitting on a bench. 127 players showed up there. And I thought, you know something? I don't have their stature. I don't have the size. I probably don't have the strength. I know that they don't have the knowledge, but you know something? If I went all the way to the state of Minnesota, I know one thing. I'm not going to sit on no bench. And so I found the top players on the team already. I got right beside them. When they went there, I went there. When they went there, I went there. I went into the rack and the iron room, I went there. And when they say after practice, I went there. I said, you know something? All the difference was a little bit of extra effort. I'll tell you what, if you just do so much some more, so much some more, so much some more, that's what we need to have. The Bible's full of it, isn't it? We may lack in talent, we may lack in number, but we'll never lack for God's power. What's for the hand find to do? Do with all thy might. And besides if, give all diligence to do what you're doing. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Nehemiah, and they strengthened their hands together for this good work. Corinthians and Paul said, therefore, be steadfast, therefore, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. Jesus. Jesus. No one. No one put more effort than Jesus. Rose up while it was yet dark. And after everybody else went and laid down, he'd go on the mountain and pray. Prayed with the sweat drops of blood, hematidrosis. I have prayed. Oh, I have prayed. And I begged God. And I have mourned. And I have wept. And I have moaned. But I've never prayed like Jesus prayed. So much the more. So much the more. So much the more. So much the more. Can I help you for a minute? There are some here who need so much the more. I left my church only to leave some people in the hospital not doing well. And they need so much some more. So much some more. I got a guy, I hope he's alive when I get home. I mean that. Sometimes they need a little extra, so much some more. So much some more. I think about widows and widowers. Sometimes pastoring is not the most pleasant thing in the world. And sometimes we as pastors will think about that 85-year-old lady who's been single now for the last 20 years, and she says, it seems like just yesterday, Pastor, just still cry at night, but she's not here. So much the more. So much the more. There's just certain people that need so much the more. Can I ask you a question? Who in your life needs to have you give a little extra effort just so they can have some normalcy? Who is that? Who is that widow that hasn't had a visit for a while? Who is that one person down there that on the outskirts and we don't quite reach that area, but we know who they are, but they haven't been to church? Who needs that so much some more? Who needs that so much some more? We talk about our Christianity. It seems like all our Christianity is all about us, not about other people. Who needs that so much some more? There's so much some more. I think about the addicted. a bunch of stinking, good-for-nothing drug addicts? Well, don't put them in their place until you've been in their shoes. I didn't grow up in Christian home. I didn't go to Christian school. I didn't go to a Christian college. My dad was married 4 times. My mother was married 3 times. I went through 6 divorces. My last stepdad was a jerk. My last stepdad was a jerk. He was a bona fide class A jerk, and I hated him. My whole goal at the age of 7 was to pump iron. I was going to come back. I was going to beat the fire out of my stepmother. What he did to my mother and all those things that happened and what he did to us that we don't even talk about today. I hated him vehemently. And that was my goal life at the age of 7, just to go and take care of my stepfather. I remember the night we left. I remember my mom coming to my bed. I was 7 years of age, and she leaned over and she shook my bed. And she just, I woke up and like, what in the world? And there's mom, and she's just crying and crying. And she had the most fearful look on her face. And she goes, "We're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here." And she went over right on the next meeting. There's my brother Jerry, and he, she bumped him a little bit. Debbie is over the shoulder, and she said the same thing. I remember my brother waking up, and we're just trying to get ourselves gathered, 7, 8 years of age, and we start walking behind my mom, and we go to the hallway of the second floor there, and we go past Debbie's room. She's with us, and we start walking, and then the worst look at all, my mother turned around the hallway, and she just said, "What have you done? Don't make any noise, please don't." As we're going to walk by Joe's room, the jerk, the stepdad, and if he wakes up, we're in a whole bunch of hurting. And so stealthily, we got by his door and went down those 11 steps, hit that vinyl floor, walked across that kitchen, down 2 cement steps, and started walking out back to the yard. It's about 100 yards to the fence, and there's my grandma, Edna. Hey, Grandma Edna, and that white Rambler. And I thought, what's going on? But every step I took, I got better, and I got better, and I got better, and I got better, and I got better. I mean, we're out of here. Yeah, it didn't last long. We relocated, we found out where we were. Joe came back May 16th, murdered my mother at 4:31 in the afternoon, shot her 5 times in front of the car, took his life, suicide. Somebody needs a little so much some more every once in a while. If you're not too busy, you don't got too much to do. So before you kind of look down on some of those people around the block, maybe you don't know what they have been through. Maybe they just need a little extra touch. Maybe they just need a little extra, you know, so much to more. Just so much to more. Just, hey, you want to build a bus rather than care about people? Want to build a sense where you just care about people? Amen. I think about the addicted. I think about the needing love. I think about single parents, the abandoned. Some people just need a little extra effort when you forgive them. Yeah. You know, the prodigal son. You know, the woman at the well. Well, she's been married 5 times. Oh, you're counting? You know, our church will be packed if we start being nice to people. So much the more. So much the more. Peter's denial, 7 times 70. Sometimes we have to show grace so much the more. You know, the unlovable. You know, the ones that just don't really fit in church, you know. Maybe even like the LGBTQ and all the other stuff. We're full about where we are. There's some states getting enough sense now to say, let's stop abortion. Our state said every woman in America can move here, will guarantee an abortion. Thank you, Governor Newsom. I really appreciate you. Do you know the state of California has 13,000 abortions every single month? Highest state in the union, 13. Ohio has 2,000 a month. State of California has 13,000 every single month. All this movement going on. You know, some people just need just so much the more. Listen, there are some that need to give so much the more. There are some that need to give so much the more. I like saying this. I feel like some high school senior guy waiting for the prom. And yes, I did go, so forgive me, okay? That was back in the BC days, before Christ, okay? So, but my wife's going to walk in that foyer here pretty soon. I can't. Is that okay to say that stuff? Okay, good. And I was just, an honest question. does your marriage need a little so much more? I know we have a little younger folks here. I'm going to talk to all married guys, just a minute, all married people, right? When was the last time you kissed your wife or husband passionately? You know, outside my walk with God, my greatest joy is being married. I hate this nation, how they put it down, how they make fun of it. You know, well, all we're going to do is argue all the time while I get married. Let's just live together. Let's just shout to you. Hey, how about just getting the marriage and working so much the more, and so much the more, and so much the more? And how about just love the fire out of that woman? And so she has the greatest work a marriage. No, hey, let's just give some more effort to it. And we can have a marriage just like that. Boy, in our marriages, we need so much more. In our families, we need so much more. In our bishops, we need so much more. Our ushers, we need so much more. I could go on and on. Hey, so we just need to give so much more. Amen. Thirdly, listen to this. Notice, it's not the ability, it's our effort. It's not the ability. The guy was blind. The guy was blind. It wasn't his ability to attract to Jesus. It was his effort. Hey, Moses couldn't talk. Jeremiah was scared to death. I mean, there's all excuses all about it. Something happens. You know something? It burns down inside of me. I've got to have God work in my life. So much the more. So much the more. So much the more. Notice the difference of Jesus passing by and the stopping was only one difference. So much the more. So much the more. So much the more. So much the more. About ready to finish. Notice that the so much the more is what got Jesus' attention. Notice it was a so much the more. The man said it first, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus didn't stop. He kept going. But that man said, you know something, this is my day, this is my day, this is my miracle, this is my life change. I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm not going to be blind anymore. I don't want this way anymore. I don't want to beg anymore. And so much the more, it was a so much the more that got Jesus' attention. I wonder if we pray so much the more that he started answering our prayers. And we started going so many, so much the more. Amen. I wonder if he could get behind that thing. Amen. If we just started just preaching all we could, so much the more, I wonder if God would get behind. I think God would get behind that stuff. I hear this all the time. Well, I hope God gives me a burden for souls. Oh, why don't you go get the burden for souls yourself? I'll tell you what, you go knock on 1,000 doors this week, I guarantee you God will get behind that. Amen. 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 Notice this, the crowd couldn't stop him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The crowd couldn't stop him. Next preacher is Brother Johnson. I love him. I mean that. I don't have better for my life than Mike Johnson. I mean that. There's a lot of times pastors, you know, they don't get along, you know, they're in competition, things like that. We learned something in California, we're on the same team. If Brother Johnson's church grew, mine did not, you know something? I'm all for him. If Brother Johnson gets to preach around this country and help all these other churches, I never get to preach out one time, which is, I'm all for him. See, you can't let a crowd determine your level of effort.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Can't do it.
Amen.
Last but not least, there's so much more is what caused Jesus Christ to get the glory. So can we live holy so much the more? Can we go sowing so much the more? Can we pray so much the more? If I survey everyone in this room today about how much you read your Bible, and I'm going to read that tomorrow night, we got a Bible. We got one. I'm just saying, how much do we use it? If I think about praying, how much we pray. You know, I can preach on any subject, get a bunch of amens. As soon as I mention prayer, it's like, ooh, boy, oh boy. Can I give you one last little hope? The guy's blind. Guy had no help. I had no hope. He'd been there for some time. Just think for a minute. Hey, what's going on? Jesus of Nazareth. How did that blind man know it? Because the multitudes passed by. The whole message is so much some more, but here's just a little thought, okay? I'm standing inside your pew Sunday morning, okay? Like right in there. How's that sound? I'm a lost truck driver. I had an accident. Whew. About bought the farm. So I came to church. Sat right there. Right there. Preacher preached a message about going to heaven. Whoa, I about bought the farm. I needed how to go to heaven. Stood right there. Gave the invitation. Not one person moved.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So I sat right there. I missed the invitation. You know what happened here? This whole crowd got up and went there. This crowd went there. This crowd went there. So this man's going, what's going on out there? This man followed your following of Jesus Christ. And because he heard you, because he heard the crowd, because he knew something's going on, that's when he asked the question, what's going on here? Something good is going on here. Hey, what is happening to Anchor Baptist Church? There's something going on there. And God's answering prayers. And God's building a church. And families are getting better. And marriages are restored. Hey, I want what they had. That's why the man asked the question. Because he saw you do it. So much the more. So much the more. So much the more. Father in heaven,